Oh, this person is a maintenance man at Innisfree Village, where he also is a resident with his three children and his wife. Speaking of family, that's a big one. Put your hands together for Tom Clay.
So I'm watching a video online of a man and a woman arm wrestling. They're fighting each other. And they're struggling. And they're grunting. The woman's using both hands against the man. Then she lets go. And the guy punches himself in the face and knocks himself on his ass. And it's hilarious. And I'm sitting there, I'm laughing. I hit replay and I watch it again. What are you doing? It's my wife at the door. She's looking at me. I'm watching this YouTube video. It's really funny. This husband and wife arm wrestling, and he punches himself in his face. I've become addicted to fail compilations. Marriage fails. Family portrait fails. There's all kinds of fails. You can watch how people screw up. It's hilarious. What are you doing? She says to me. Why are you so distant? What am I doing? What am I doing? See, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to be just like my Uncle Charlie. He had attitude. He was really cool. When my Nana was 19 years old, she had three kids, Charlie, Barbie, and Bobby, my dad. Charlie was just so cool. Pappy was an invalid. He was a cripple. He worked in a shoe factory. He was a glue man. But he got sick, and he lost a job. So Nana had to take a job as a switchboard operator. She could take baby Barbie and baby Bobby with her, but Charlie would run around and make a lot of noise, so she couldn't take him. So he had to go and live with the grim grandparents. It was supposed to be a temporary situation, but Pappy died, and it kind of became a permanent thing. He went through the rest of his life feeling that he was a victim. He'd been gypped. He'd been gypped out of his family, and he was owed. Many, many years later, when Nana died, the lawyer gathered the three kids together and said, "Your mother's will says that the estate is to be divided into equal thirds." "Equal thirds? I'm the eldest," says Charlie. "I'm the executor. I should get more." "Well, no, actually, your mother thought that you should get an equal third," the lawyer said. Oh, this made Char furious. He wasn't going to have that. Later that night, he drives his pickup truck over to the house. He's going to sort of take some stuff and rebalance the imbalance. But the lawyers had gotten there first, and they changed the locks on the door. This made him livid. So the next day, they had the auction, and everything was sold. Almost everything was sold. Just the stuff that people didn't want was left over. Charlie got his third. He didn't talk to anybody the entire day. Later that night, him and his wife, Carol, they drive the pickup truck around to the house. They're going to take all the stuff that left over, the stuff nobody wanted. "This feels kind of weird," says Carol. "What?" "Well, it kind of feels like we're stealing." "Stealing? How do you steal your own stuff? This is my stuff. I'm the eldest. I'm the executor. This is my birthright." He puts all the stuff in the truck, and they drive away. They only made it a couple miles down the road, and Carol looks over. He's white. He's like, "I don't feel so good. What's the matter? I don't feel so good. I can't breathe. I think you should drive the truck." So he makes her walk around, and he slides across the seat. She starts driving, and he says, "I don't think I'm going to make it." So she pulls into one of those little ambulance sump stations, and she runs in, and she says, "Help me, help me. My husband's having a heart attack." They rush out to the truck. It's a mess. He's vomited all over everything, and he's unconscious. They unload him from the truck. They put him in the ambulance. They take him to the hospital. It's serious. He's almost dead. They put him in a coma. They induce a coma. perform open heart surgery on him, save his life. After the 4 weeks is up, they bring him back. He's awake for about 2 weeks when my dad goes to visit. He says, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" Charlie just sits there, just stares at him, doesn't say anything. I said, "Hey, what's the matter with you?" "What's the matter with me?" Charlie says. "What's the matter with me?" He reaches over into the side table, pulls out a little notebook. "In 1979, you visited Mom 18 times. You visited me once. In 1984, you ordered pizza with Mom 6 times, never once offering to pay. I had pizza with Mom 10 times, and I paid every time." That's when I realized, when I hear this story, Charlie's onto something. People say, you gotta forgive and forget. But you know, we don't do that. We just forget. When I was 14, I hated my parents. I have no idea why I hated my parents. I've never forgiven them for it. I've just forgotten. And there's like this unspoken thing that's really awkward. And I feel like I should hate these people, but I don't know why. And Charlie knows. You keep a list. Stay organized. Don't let this shit go away. But the thing that I'm having a hard time with is the anger. See, Charlie uses these things to keep himself angry. There's a lot of people that use memories like this, not for anger. I mean, Hiroshima. They're never going to forget that. They're never going to forgive people for dropping a bomb on them like that. And yet they don't use their remembrance to hate Americans. Auschwitz. I know a lot of number people. They're never going to forget that. They're never going to forgive that. But they don't use this memory to hate Germans. Well, unfortunately, a lot of Americans, we don't forget things so that we can stay good and angry. Pearl Harbor. How many people know Americans who dislike Japanese people because of Pearl Harbor? How many Americans express extreme animosity towards Muslims because of 9/11? See, the thing is to let go of the anger, not to just forget about it. So when my wife says, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" I pull out my little mental notebook and I say, "In 2007, I told you I wasn't happy in this relationship. And you said, I'm perfectly fine with it. In 2008, I told you I felt alone in this relationship. And you said, maybe you need counseling or medication." She looked at me. She said, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, you forgot my birthday. Now I see, she's keeping her own list. You can't argue with that. I went back to the internet. She went back to bed. I sat there. I hear a noise and I look. And it's my son, my 10-year-old son. And he says, "Papa, you don't read stories to us anymore. You used to read The Hobbit, and Narnia, and The Odyssey. And you don't read that anymore. Why not? What's the matter?" And I can see he's keeping his own list.
Tom Clay, everybody. Woo!